You are listening to the Sideline Sauce Podcast, Episode 3, Bama Bets, Upsets, and Tennessee Two-Steps.
Today, we are talking about what we know best, and that is college football.
Amen.
Games that happened, games that are coming up, and we will have some help from Middle Tennessee offensive coordinator Tony Franklin.
To break it all down.
Yep. Hey everybody, Kaylee Krisch here with Emily Van Buskirk. Welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then we appreciate you stopping by. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks for your enjoyment, and show notes can be found on our page at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. Now, you guys can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you, Emily. At Sideline Sass with 3 S's. Don't worry, we will also let you guys follow us on our personal pages. I am at Miss Krisch.
And I'm at Emilnem. And you can also go on Facebook and throw us a like there, and maybe we'll give you a little mention or something.
A little like back. Now, all links are in the show notes. Why don't we get sassy?
Let's do it.
All right, Emily. Let's jump right in. Week 1 of college football. Can you believe it's back?
It was a really long week 1, though.
It was a very long week 1. It was like a week 1 and a half.
I feel like it started 2 weeks ago.
Basically. But football's back, which is awesome. Every Saturday, we turn on the TV and there's college football on.
It's nice to be able to wake up to that. I'll tell you that much.
So let's talk about what the games this week surprised you. I want to start.
Okay.
With a game that you and I watched this weekend in Nashville.
Let me guess.
What was it?
Maryland, Texas?
Yes, it was.
Psychic.
So, fans, we were at the George Jones Museum / Eatery and
/
Rooftop
Bar.
It was amazing.
It was
so much fun. But also, we were there watching the Texas-Maryland game. With some very annoying Maryland fans behind us. But other than that, what did you think about that game?
It's funny because Texas fans, first of all, like I thought they would win just because.
Texas or Maryland?
Texas. Okay. Because I had heard from some people that work for Maryland that they weren't going to be that great as per usual. And that, you know, Tom Herman's been saying Texas is on the right path. I really thought they were. So.
However, can I just preface. Yeah. All of this with the fact that you actually told me that you heard something where Tom Herman had said, like, 23. How are we ranked 23?
Yeah, he did say that he was surprised they were ranked. But sometimes that's coaches just downplaying, like, national media. Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't read into it because he has a lot of pressure on him to do well. But this is my issue with Texas is anybody who plays or coaches there, their life is literally like live and die by that game.
Game to game.
Yeah, and that's like a really shitty way to live because you're so worried about that outcome that you can't play loose and stuff. And Maryland, they had those injuries that we were all very scared about. And we really
terrifying.
Hope those guys are okay. But that kind of opened them up to play like, it spurred them. They played loose. They played fast. And that was something that Texas never really found a rhythm for. So,
So not only did Tyrell Pigram go for 2 touchdowns as well as 1 rushing touchdown, but his freshman replacement came in after him and ran for 2 critical, I think, passing touchdowns after he came in. So that's kind of a big deal for Maryland to not only have, you know, this awesome quarterback come in, but the freshmen come in and do the exact same thing. So what do you think about that? Was Texas just bad today or is Maryland good?
I think it's another example of an injury that Maryland had. I felt like every time we were watching that game, someone from Maryland was going down. And that only lends to my point about injuries hyping teams up. Instead of doing the opposite and bringing them down. I feel like, in general, any team that ever has, like, an injury where there has to be a stretcher on the field, that team's going to win. So, from here on out, I'm only picking teams that have injuries with stretchers on the field.
Does that happen that often? Because if it does, that's kind of scary.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to start looking now.
All right. Well, let's go and move forward to Florida State versus Alabama.
Yep.
As we mentioned in our title of this, everybody thought that Alabama would just murder
Roll Tide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They would roll over Florida State there. But yeah, actually, it was a pretty close game. I mean, not in the end, but like for a long time, it was a close game. It was interesting.
Yeah. I think what
10-7 yeah, up until the third quarter. Yeah. Let's just start there. But you're was right. That surprising to you or no?
I feel like Alabama does this all the time, and I've written about this. I've said this. Alabama, they don't care what the score is through three quarters. They really just, Nick Saban, he may look angry and like he's disappointed like your dad, but he literally doesn't care, because at the end of the day, there's like a famous quote from him where he's like, at the end, all that matters is like how high you're ranked. And in the fourth quarter, as long as you're winning, it doesn't matter. So,
so I don't think, not surprising.
No, I'm not surprised that they always play possum. Like, I don't think they actually play possum in that sense, but they play like they're playing possum,
so
if that makes sense.
So we were at the, I know everybody's tired of hearing about this, but Floyd Mayweather and the Conor McGregor fight. And the whole beginning we were saying like Mayweather is just toying with him, you know?
Well,
I mean, there were people that said that.
In the beginning, I was actually scared that he wasn't as good as we thought he was.
Yes.
So but he then, did a good job selling it.
Exactly. He did a great job selling it. But at the end, you realized, oh, he was just letting McGregor just tire himself out, right? And that is how I felt about the Alabama-Florida State game, because it was almost like Alabama was just letting Florida State act like they were better than they were.
Yeah.
But then Alabama in the fourth quarter just ended up murdering them.
And that's what they're going to do. And I said this on air the other day that they may lose a game. And I told you this, they're going to lose a game, but
they're not going undefeated.
No, but it doesn't matter when you're that good.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, because you could lose, I want to say two games, but maybe not in the SEC, but you could lose and you could still win. If there were ever a phrase to define Alabama, it's that.
You can lose, but we'll still win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Well, let's talk about, you know, you and I were mentioning this earlier about shutouts and what they actually mean.
What is the value of a shutout in college football?
So, for example, I mean, there was a few of them this weekend, but one of the ones that kind of stuck out to me was Penn State versus Akron, because it was 52-0 was the final.
Yeah.
And you have mentioned that you think that Penn State's actually going to be really good this year.
Yeah. I don't think they are good.
Yeah.
They are.
Okay. I don't know enough about Penn State to like agree or disagree.
Kaylee's getting defensive.
I'm not. I literally every time we talk about Penn State, I just think of like, you know, sexual assault and stuff like that. So. Sorry. That's the last time I've ever heard about.
Dagger to the heart
That's
of Penn
the
State.
Last time
you
I've ever
what?
Heard about Penn
State. Penn State fans deserve this, because it's been a really rough time for them. But the players they have and the scheme they have offensively is just fit for this year's college football. Like, Saquon Barkley, Sean O'Connell said in our last episode, will probably win the Heisman. And apparently, there are people at the game with Saquon for Heisman painted across their chest. Because that's how much Penn State fans want this. But it is very hard to shut out a team. To have them score none points on you.
0 points, yeah.
That's unbelievable. So, 52-0 is impressive. I don't care who you are. Like, you could be a high school team, and if you don't let someone score on you, that's, to me, is a mark of a good team. We had other shutouts, too. They weren't the only one. LSU shut out BYU, which to me is phenomenal, because I hate BYU. I've covered them. I've never had a good experience with these kids. You know, that's my personal opinion, but... And I'm not a huge LSU fan either, but to see them shut out BYU 27-0, that was fun.
What about the Washington State shutout? They shut out Montana State. Now,
impressive.
let's be real. Who is Montana State? But the fact that a Pac-12 school.
What's their mascot? Do you know?
It looks like a It looks like a predator. It looks like the Nashville Predators mascot, which we actually did see tonight. Yeah. Which was amazing because the Nashville Predator, Nash, he was at the Middle Tennessee Vanderbilt game. Yep. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Emily is absolutely terrified of mascots.
I'm surprised it hasn't come up yet.
I'm surprised it hasn't either, but this really is only our third episode. But I actually really wanted a picture with him because, you know, I worked for the Sharks and I've seen a lot of like the other teams and the mascots and stuff like that. And I really wanted to get a picture with Nash, but I was kind of scared to ask Emily to take it because she was terrified of him.
It's a bobcat, just for...
Oh, future reference. It's close. Montana State, the Bobcats.
I would have taken it. The problem with mascots is they smell my fear and then they start messing with me.
Oh, man. And he was on you tonight, too. He was like, he was ready to go. I just stay away.
I just look the other way. But that's a less impressive shout out to me because Luke Falk, we know, is going to be great. Yeah. Montana State's not really a worthy opponent. So that one... less impressive, but the true value of a shutout is that it shows that you can actually close out a game, you can finish and not let a team score on you, and mentally persevere, and that's a big thing in college
football. But not only are you good, you're not only saying like, hey, we're really good offensively because we're scoring high, but we're good defensively.
And what do defenses win?
Defenses win championships. Yes, they do. And if we've learned anything in college football, it's that defense is key.
And that's why Alabama keeps winning, because defensively, they're so good. There's no match for them. So
I know.
All these games were interesting. We loved them all, but...
one of the ones we were covering, we were keeping a close eye on the most today was the USC game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because USC is actually playing Stanford next weekend, and Pac-12 is close to our hearts. So that was something...
and geographically close.
Well, yeah, all the above. But that was something we were keeping a close eye on today.
Yes.
So what did you think about the USC game?
Unfortunately, we couldn't watch a ton of it because we were at the Middle Tennessee Vanderbilt game, which I'm not sure we even mentioned yet, but we're in Nashville. We're in Murfreesboro.
We are.
We're covering the Middle Tennessee Vanderbilt game. It ended up being kind of a dud, which is fine, but we were keeping an eye on USC, and it's funny to me because they did the same thing Alabama does where, you know, it's close, it's close, it's close. And then when it really matters, it wasn't.
They pull away.
So I'm not worried. I think next weekend when they play Stanford, they're gonna beat them.
Yeah. It's funny because everybody says, like, it really will be the true test of these two teams, whether Stanford means anything this year or whether USC is as good as everybody predicts them to be. I mean, they are ranked number 4. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We are also going to have an expert on the line with us, the offensive coordinator of Middle Tennessee, Tony Franklin. He will be on with us shortly.
Person who is close to my heart. Love Tony. Mm-hmm. We met him when we covered Cal football, and he's going to help us break down Cal's victory over North Carolina. He's also going to talk a little bit about Jared Goff, someone he stays in touch with, and maybe explain what happened that first year, you know, he was with the Rams and why it didn't go the way that, you know, everyone wanted it to. So definitely stay tuned for the next segment. He's got a lot of insight. He's been doing this a long time, and he's just kind of a fun guy.
He's a cool dude. Yeah. All right. Stay tuned, guys.
All right. We are back, and joining us now is Middle Tennessee offensive coordinator Tony Franklin.
Tony.
Welcome. Hey. And just a little bit of background. Tony, Coach Franklin, and Kaylee and I met when we covered Cal, and he was the offensive coordinator there, and we managed to stay friends somehow. And now we've ventured out to Murfreesboro and had to come see the Blue Raiders for ourselves. So
yay. So speaking of the Blue Raiders, let's talk, Tony. How do you feel like the game went today? You know, we just got back from the game, and the Raiders lost 28-6
To Vanderbilt.
Not a great score. Probably not what everybody was hoping for. There was a ton of fans there tonight. But how do you think the team did overall?
It was an interesting thing. It was, I hate to say that I wasn't completely surprised. We've struggled throughout the spring and the summer in the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And so I was really concerned about that going into the game. And, you know, our first two drives, we moved the ball down the field, and then we didn't capitalize on it. And we got behind early, and we just really stunk it up. It was bad football. It was embarrassing as a coach. I've been doing this since 1979, yeah. And I was embarrassed for our fans. I was embarrassed for our players, and I was embarrassed for myself as a coach.
Embarrassed is a word that Brent used in the post-game press conference. The very first thing he said was, I'm embarrassed for us. But he took a lot of the blame for himself. And I wanted to ask you, do you think it was harder for him dealing with not having enough time to throw the ball, or when he did have time, not finding any targets open?
No, I mean, we didn't protect him. And, you know, all quarterbacks are human. Mm-hmm. And any human being that gets physically beaten is going to have a hard time. And, mm-hmm. and we went into the game, I went into the game concerned about that. And I didn't do a good enough job to find a way to protect him, which is my job.
Right.
And so I just didn't have any answers and couldn't come up with any answers. And that happens. They were better than us. They were physically better than us. They looked better than we did. They played harder than we did. They coached better than we did. And, you know, we lost a game because of it.
Now, specifically in the second quarter, we noticed that that seemed to be the hardest quarter offensively. Yeah. I mean, there was zero passing yards and only four rushing. So was that a specific quarter you think that maybe Vanderbilt was just tougher that quarter, or you guys just lost it? Or
Well, I think the thing that happened was that both sides of the football played poorly in the whole first half, because I think our defense settled in after and played really well in the second half.
Yeah. Sometimes that's just jitters, though. Do you think it's just first game?
No, I think I just don't think we're very good right now. I mean, the bottom line is we're not. You know, we played how we are right now. We're not a very good football team right now, and you know, you never know at the beginning of the season. Sometimes you play somebody and you think, well, you know, they're not great and we're really bad, and it turns out they're actually really good.
Yeah.
But they have a good football team, and you know, and we'll get better. But it was ugly.
Now, your first three games are against Power 5 teams.
Right.
Do you think that's easier to have it in the beginning of the season, back-to-back like that, because you're shown some really good teams and what to expect, and then you go into conference play, and it's like, they're not quite as fast.
Well,
or bigger.
No way that's easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's different.
I mean, I know.
No, well, really, it's...
Good question, Kaylee.
I don't... Like, when I look at the schedule and I see those teams that we were playing, I didn't go like, oh, my God, you know, this is horrible. I can't believe we're playing these great
Right, because
teams.
They don't jump off the page at you.
I mean, they're good football teams, and they do a good job and all that stuff, but we're physically, we should be more competitive than what we were tonight.
Right.
So, you know, you always like to open with a win, but
sometimes
you know,
don't.
There's a lot of times that you open a game or open a season up and you win 50-0, you have a horrible year.
Yeah. Well, Vanderbilt the last 5 years has lost their home opener.
Right.
Yeah. So this is their first win
in 5 years.
Yeah. In six years. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So I mean, you never know. But
and you don't know, and that's the thing. We don't know how good they are, and we don't know how bad we are.
Exactly.
So we'll figure it out here in the next few weeks.
Well, okay, so one more question about the game, and then we'll just erase it from my memory.
Bury it. Yeah.
We'll bury it in the backyard out here, under
please.
The moon.
Because speaking of which, moving forward on those games, your question, Emily.
My really important question that I'm going to ask every single coach and player forever on our podcast is, do you take anything from this game film and look at it, or do you literally just throw it in the trash can and start over for
I never Syracuse? Throw it in the trash can. I hear that from coaches and they say that we're just not even going to look at it.
Do you think that's a lie?
I think it's a complete lie. I don't know of any coach ever in the history of the world that hasn't gone
You always pick it apart.
But well, what if there's nothing?
Exactly. I'm going to watch. I'll watch every play. I'll grade every play.
But what if there's nothing to teach from it?
Like, well, there's
what
always if... something to teach. Okay. If you can't find something to teach, you're not a good teacher. I mean, there's something to teach from everything.
Okay. That's
and these guys, you know, it won't be as bad as we think in some areas. And then in other areas, it'll be worse than we thought.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, but, you know, that's the fun part. For me, is to try to find a way to fix it. I love fixing stuff.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
Know, I mean,
it's like a puzzle.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And I take great pride in, you know, being able to do that. Sometimes it takes longer than others.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we mentioned your. We'll move on. We're gonna put that.
No, please.
We're moving on. It's already you know, it's past midnight here, so technically it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So yes. we can just
new day. New day.
Your old team,
yes.
Cal, the Cal Golden Bears, they beat North Carolina today, 35-30.
Yeah.
Or yesterday, Saturday. Yeah. and a lot of people didn't think that they would do that, right. First of all.
Yeah.
And I think that people were wondering whether Bowers would be ready, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And what, I mean, you watched the game, you mm-hmm. mentioned.
Yeah.
So did you have any thoughts on Bowers at quarterback, Justin Wilcox's plan, right. any of that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I love Cal. I love those kids. You know, I recruited a lot of those kids. I coached them. I love them. I stay in touch with several of them. And
that's good.
And I expect them to be good. Everybody is doomsday, you know, and you lost this, lost that. We recruited really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had good football players. I mean, there's good football players there on that deal, and the coaches, obviously the new staff has done a good job. I know I talked with a couple of the players not long ago, they're really excited about the coaching staff and
okay.
the whole, every part of it. They're excited about it, and they've enjoyed it, and they feel good about it. And
that's nice.
The quarterback deal, I felt good about the quarterback deal when I left. When Jared was leaving, I thought that Ross and Chase both, that we could win with both those mm-hmm. guys. Mm-hmm. It had the conversation when Sonny was looking at, transfer quarterbacks. And,
yeah.
And obviously, you know, he got a really good player in. But I was not that was not something I was in favor of, because I felt like that both Chase and Ross were good enough to
compete
to be good.
Right.
And so we could be good.
What did you think about Davis Webb last year?
I don't know him. And right. I saw – you know, a little bit,
yeah.
you know, his
yeah.
physical talent yeah. is incredible.
Yeah.
And I watched his film when I was there, because mm-hmm. there was, you know, he was talking to transferring in at that time. And I thought he was really good. I thought he had a good skill set. And I knew somebody that had coached him before, Neil Brown, the head coach at Troy,
mm-hmm.
Coached with me and played for me at Kentucky.
Because you know everybody.
Yeah.
Literally. People like to say that I know everybody.
You do know everybody.
It's a fun game. But, like, you might beat me. But I guess that's what happens when you do it this long. You
yes,
know everyone.
Yes.
When did you just call him old?
Well,
people call me old.
I just turned 60, and I know for a fact that I do not look one day over 59.
No. There you go.
I don't believe that.
Not
I
even
do.
Close.
I was thinking, I always tell my wife that I went into a bar. I believe that women think I'm 39.
Oh, absolutely.
And she really, really does
I'm
not
sure,
believe
surprised
that.
You don't still get carded.
You know, in Tennessee,
I'm sure she
everyone
felt great
gets
about
carded.
That.
So.
That's true.
There you go. Yeah. Is that why you guys moved back?
We did. I wanted carded. To be able to get carded.
Exactly.
We were carded downtown today. I was surprised because I never get carded.
You shouldn't feel really good about that because I get carded. So
whatever. Anyway.
All right. Well, enough with Cal.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
But it's a good transition into, you know, previous Cal quarterback is you worked really closely with Jared Goff. So mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about his first season with in the NFL last year. Do you think there's a specific, what are the reasons why he had such a tough time last year?
Well, I think there's one really good reason. The Rams were horrible. They're a bad franchise.
Oh.
You know, they're a bad team. They had it's like this. If Dak Prescott goes to the Cowboys,
uh-huh.
okay, and Dak Prescott played at Mississippi State in a offense that's the farthest thing away from the NFL that you could find in college football, and he went and had a phenomenal year, and I recruited Dak when I was at Louisiana Tech. He's mm-hmm. a great player, great kid. But he went to the best offensive line in all of football, and all of a sudden, and he's got the, one of the best quarterback coaches in there, in the head coach, and Jared, on the other hand, goes to one of the worst franchises in football with one of the worst offensive lines in football, and one of the worst teams in football. And you know, I told him when he went to the NFL, I said the one thing for you to be a success in the NFL, you always are going to have to be able to overcome your coaching. And I tell, I'm not knocking whoever it was that coached him last year.
Right.
I'm saying that for anybody. I tell our quarterbacks that if you're going to be great, you have to overcome me because I'm not going to be right all the time.
And
you have to have your own thing. Well, I mean,
that can't be accurate.
I was wrong once, like 15 years ago.
It's been a while. Yeah, but can you answer this question? Because I bet a lot of people about this, and I came up wrong. Was he always going to go out? Did it ever depend on that year, or is this not something that can be said now?
Was he always going
to
go
out? Go to the NFL, or was he ever going to... Like, was there ever a conversation where he would have stayed at Cal another year?
No.
So all these people that told me that was just filling my head with hot air.
Yeah, I mean, I
he was always going to go after that year.
Well, I think he was always going to go if he was going to go in the top 10.
So that was.
Do you think number one is accurate of his skill set? Like, do you?
Oh yeah.
I believe
the skill set is good. The thing that Jared does incredibly well is that he's got great pocket presence.
Mm-hmm.
He has he's a really physical, tough kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get gun shy.
When he played Utah in that, do you remember that game?
Oh yeah,
five interceptions, and that's when he was kind of at the height of.
I had another quarterback. I didn't personally coach him, but I was coaching on that staff that threw five interceptions. It was the first pick in the draft as well. And
well, how do you explain that? Just
what happens to everybody?
Yeah.
I told him after the game. I said, you know, Brady threw five. Manning threw five.
Oh boy.
Brett Favre holds the leading record of interceptions, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks.
Okay.
You know, ever. I mean, it's just
Packers fan. Calm down with Brett Favre. We talked enough about Brett Favre on the plane. I don't want to hear it anymore.
We just talked about how much money he made
and what his endorsements are, what commercials he's in.
It had nothing to do with his skill set.
I'm not buying Brett Favre jeans ever.
They're not called Brett Favre jeans. They're Wranglers. Speaking of which, if any Wranglers salespeople are listening, we would love some Wranglers.
But I don't want them.
Anyway.
So you keep in touch with Jared a bit then?
Yes.
That's nice.
Is he more encouraged on this season? Like, do you think that
God,
they're...
Oh, God,
yes. No, yes, okay.
I mean, he's really excited. He really, he likes and respects the coaching staff. He's got a really good feel for it. I saw his first practice with the new staff. I was out recruiting in April, and so I stopped that day. It happened to be the first day they were practicing, and he looked like a different person.
Oh, wow.
He's
kind of settled in.
Yeah, well, it's just they do what he does, and they're really good football coaches, and so
that's awesome.
I'm excited for him.
I'm gonna go see him next Monday next Sunday. I'm gonna be in LA for the Stanford USC game, and then I'm gonna go to the Rams Colts game. So I'm gonna check it out for myself. Yeah. Jared's, you know, we went to high school at the same place, so we're both from Marin.
Yeah,
we know a lot of people. So.
He's a lot younger than you, though.
That's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant.
Not a lot.
One little question about one more about Goff. Brent Stockstill, the quarterback at your school, he told me in an interview a while back that Jared had reached out to him and you had facilitated kind of a friendship between a kinship, and he did mention that Goff would send him texts of encouragement and whatnot.
Right.
That's so cool.
Is that something that you think he'll do this season too? Like,
yeah, I mean, he's just a good guy.
He is a great guy.
He's a good person, and he. He's a football geek.
Yeah.
He
watches your games.
He does.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think he would say about tonight?
He would say, yeah.
What do you think he's going to text Brent tomorrow?
He would tell me I sucked. And he would tell Brent to hang in there and, keep
digging.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cute.
It's part of it.
Well, we want to talk about two other quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We're just going to ask about all the quarterbacks.
Yeah. That's a specialty.
So which ones do you think we should ask about next?
Well, I mean, going forward in this college football season, Heisman candidates, everybody's talking about, you know, USC quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold.
Thank you.
Kaylee can never say his name.
She can't say it. Like, I want to say Donaldson every single time, so I just let her say it.
Do you know the UCLA quarterback's name?
Rosen.
Joshua Rosen. Exactly. Or maybe Josh. I don't know. I shouldn't.
Anyway. So, between those two, who do you think is the real deal? I mean...
Well, I think they're both really good. I recruited Josh Rosen a little bit in high school. Saw him play. Darnold, I saw film when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them both play in college, and they're both... they both have really strong arms.
Yeah.
I think that they're, you know, Darnold's probably a little bit more athletic.
Yeah.
Moves around a little bit more.
This is how I describe it. Darnold's like a tank, you know?
Yeah.
And Rosen's like a sports car. Well, I didn't coin that. Somebody said it, and now I'm using it.
But yeah. Well, act like you said it.
Well, I know, but someone somewhere is going to be like, I said that first.
I was very impressed with the fact that you came up with that.
I didn't come up with it, but I think it's accurate. Would you say that that is a good depiction of the two?
I couldn't say because I really truly haven't seen enough of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough of
That's
them.
That's fair.
I still, you know, would say that the best quarterback, you know, in college football is Lamar Jackson.
But you heard about his game tonight.
Yeah.
They struggled a lot against Purdue, and they actually almost lost.
Right.
And apparently. He was being his receivers were being double, triple covered, and he was having issues adjusting.
Right.
But I feel like we've seen this before, where he has these starts or he doesn't play well, and then he.
Well, he's got he's got the most unique skill set of anybody.
Yeah.
The fact that he's a good thrower, but he's a phenomenal runner. I mean, he's one of the fastest human beings that there is in college football. He's fun to watch.
Do you think that in the grand scheme of things, do you think that these days translates into NFL quarterbacks?
Well, I think that.
Or does it not matter? Like you.
No.
Just...
Here's what I think.
Oh boy.
Please.
Everybody, stop what they're doing.
Is it late?
No, not at all.
Go.
So it's late night in Tennessee with the moon shining on my back porch. I think that coaching goes this way. I think the best coaches are high school coaches.
Wow.
I think the second best coaches are college coaches. I think the worst coaches are in the NFL. And I think that you take a skill set, you don't draft Johnny Manziel and turn him into a drop back passer and wonder why he's partying. You know,
those aren't related.
Well,
are they?
They are related. They're related in the fact that you be who you are. I mean,
you do you.
You take somebody that has a skill set, and then you build on that skill set. You don't
try and force them into.
No, I mean, you know, you're a complete and utter moron if you.
But if it were that easy, everybody would have a place somewhere.
Well,
theoretically,
no. What you have to do is that. You don't draft them if they can't do what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You don't just draft them
even if they're
of the name.
Best player in college football.
Well, it doesn't matter if they can't do what you want to do. You change and do what they can do. I mean, that's, to me, a good teacher, a good coach, adjust to the talent that they have. I never go into a year and go, well, I'm going to do this no matter what. I got to figure out what we can
do.
As you saw tonight, I'm so good at it. You know? I was able to get 6 points. You know?
Yeah.
That blocked point after. That was heartbreaking.
It was just like everyone's so excited and then instantly
it's
like, nope.
Well, it was just the way the night was.
It was like, have you ever seen Other Guys, the movie?
Yeah.
It was like, free hot dogs for life. No drinks, though.
No drinks.
Only free hot dogs.
Well, if you had to pick, you know, now we're into the era of playoffs in college football, who are going to be the two left at the end?
Or it's four. Always Alabama and whoever.
Alabama
every
and
week.
Whoever.
That's who we get. Yeah.
We should just call our podcast that.
Yeah, Alabama and whoever. Oh,
I wouldn't be
that.
Surprised that it wasn't a rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, Clemson has recruited incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not be surprised at all if that was not the case. So,
do you think, I have a two-part question. Do you think there'll be a Pac-12 school ever. That will ever get into a playoff.
Washington, like, well, of course,
ever's too long.
Okay, what about this year? People are saying that they're going to be the one left out again. And my second question, while I'm going to ask it, is do you like Penn State to be in there? Because that's personally right. That's my favorite team right now.
No, you they're going to tank.
Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley are amazing.
You heard it here first.
No, I mean, it's a good question because Penn State is on the move. They actually came here and did a camp with us this year on our campus, and they were really nice.
I heard they're nice good guys.
Yeah, they were good people.
Yeah. And you're a good judge of character, so I trust you.
Absolutely. Well, I judged you, so I mean, okay. You know.
I mean, but I'm easy because nice to everybody.
That's true. What was it my brother said before he went to bed? He said, and why did they come to this game? I said, well, because they
we're here to support you.
Exactly. We're here to support a colleague and a work friend.
Exactly.
And a personal friend.
Yeah, and just a story, just so you know this.
Yeah.
And Emily.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
So we're at a basketball game. And
your first ever.
Don't tell that on public.
Too late.
And so our basketball team is phenomenal. Our coaches are amazing. They're specialists.
They were
so,
at the game tonight.
Yeah. They're the best guys, and they're great coaches. And so she's there, and so they're playing like the worst team in the conference. Mm-hmm. And we're behind 20 to nothing to start the game off.
Jinx.
And she looks at me and she goes, I jinx every team I go.
Yeah.
So tonight, right before the game started, and I saw you all over on the sideline, it hit me and I said, oh my God.
No.
The jinx was in the house.
So let's just put this out there that the loss tonight can solely be on Emily's back.
You know what?
And the thing is, though, is that that means that we – possibly are not that bad, that we're better.
Yeah. I think so.
I
there's
think
hope.
There is
it's
a lot
only
of hope.
Emily.
Yeah.
It's me.
And so, she won't come to any other games
so
this year, so you guys are free and clear. That was your one loss.
No offense, but I wouldn't let her come. I don't think.
I'll come and I'll stay here with Laura. We'll just hang out.
Yeah. Awesome.
Laura would like that.
Well, we definitely appreciate you talking even after a loss. We know that that's a little difficult for people sometimes, but thank you for being with us, and we look forward to your season.
We'll be checking in.
We'll be checking in.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be interesting. I'll tell you, if we win like six in a row, I'm going to buy you both a plane ticket.
Oh, we'll be
and
here.
Make you come back, but not go to the game.
See? I would be fine with that.
I can handle
that.
I'll watch on TV. Yeah. I'll sit on this porch and...
There you go.
We'll sip sweet tea.
Life gets no better.
Is that a Kentucky?
Yeah,
is
no, it's
Tennessee thing?
Definitely
sweet
a Southern tea. Tennessee.
Yeah, come on. All right, whatever. All right.
We're going to talk more college football next, but thank you again, Coach Franklin in the house, in his house.
Literally in his house.
Literally. Okay. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Wow, what a great, great interview. That's definitely, of the three we've done, that's been one of my favorite. Love Tony Franklin. Love talking to him because he always has such a great insight on college football, quarterbacks.
Not only that, but he has such a huge Rolodex of people that he knows
steal my
and
word.
His experiences. Yeah, I did. Okay. So it's really nice to hear his opinion on stuff, and I love him.
I love that he has such good things to say about Cal and that he stays in touch with the guys. So
that made
me really happy. But he definitely, talking to him, got me excited about next weekend's games.
Yes.
I know he has to go with Middle Tennessee, and they're going to travel to Syracuse to play another Power 5 team.
Yep.
The second of three in a row for them.
Which is crazy.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And you asked him, how does that feel?
Yeah,
obviously it doesn't feel good.
In the beginning of your season to go against three decent teams, like, right away?
Three
or would
teams
you rather,
that are tougher than your conference.
Yeah. Or would you rather spread them out? I'm still not sure how I would feel. Like, do you want to just get them all out of the way and then your team has a good experience of what is out there? Or would you rather play people that are within your own league? I don't know.
I think it's more impressive if they play them up front and then win. But after today's game, it's going to be hard to bounce back against Syracuse. So
especially
we'll
when you have a coach that says, like, it's probably not going to happen. So... But anyway.
Well, there's other games that we're interested in as well.
Mm-hmm. So next week, one of the big games. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is one that I think is kind of big, but it's also weird, is that Fresno State is playing at Alabama.
Yeah.
Which is just – You really don't hear too much about Fresno State until Derek Carr is talking about them and went there. And so you really don't hear that much until then. But, yeah, so when I saw that on the schedule, I was like, oh, Fresno State is still relevant. That's weird.
I'm just, like, not even going to watch that game. So. Yeah, it's probably I'm actually going to go to Stanford-USC.
You are.
Unfortunately, my partner in crime will not be joining me because she has her personal life and work to deal with, whatever. I thought I was the only personal life she had, but
you're really only
apparently is. Not. She has like a birthday to celebrate with her parents, but it's fine.
Sorry, guys.
But I will be at Stanford USC live from the Coliseum. We're going to be having a guest next week that's very special.
Yes.
He played at Jacksonville State.
He did.
He was a defensive back. Mm-hmm. He played safety in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's a local Bay Area hero.
Hero, for sure.
We're not going to divulge his name, until so you'll have to tune not in. But
he knows his shit. Let's just say
he
that.
He does. And he's going to have a good perspective on, you know, how to defend this year's slate of college quarterbacks. Because he was able to see it from a different perspective. So he's going to come on next week and talk to us about that. We'll be able to break down the Stanford-USC game because we'll be at that. I think it's going to be – I'm going on right now and saying Stanford will lose to USC.
Yeah.
And I don't care historically. You know, my dad wants to tell me, oh, Stanford always wins at USC. No. Not always. They have. I'm not saying that this is the thing. I'm not saying they can't be USC. I'm saying they won't be USC.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
The same way I referred to Lamar Jackson and the Heisman.
Yeah.
It's not that he can't win it twice. It's just that he won't. You know what I mean? Like,
all right.
Stanford just can't beat USC there this year because USC, despite what we saw, is very good.
Yeah, they are very good.
Yeah. And Stanford played Rice. So really, we don't know how good they are. And also, David Shaw decided to pull out the entire arsenal of weapons.
I was going to ask you what you thought about that. So, you know, you're a proponent of people not raising the bar on their scoring drives if it seems like that they're just completely outscoring their opponent that they should kind of hold up.
If you're winning, there's no need to show future opponents what you would do. So to me, David Shaw in Australia, I felt like he was trying to prove something with not having Christian McCaffrey anymore, which is fine. But you don't need to show us all your tight ends and all your running backs and all your receivers. Like, we don't need to see the entire complicated Stanford playbook.
I also guarantee that his point would be like, well, he doesn't care if everybody
that's
knows
fine
what he
but
has.
You know when he's gonna care is when he gets
when
murdered
he
by USC.
Agree. So I'm super excited that you're gonna be there.
Gonna be
I will be on the line to
on
talk
the hotline.
I will be there to talk to you and our special guest. But I will not be there in person. Mm-hmm. However, I'm super excited. I really do think you're right. I think this is really gonna test the tide of USC or Stanford, who's really going to own this Pac-12, which I think it's pretty obvious that USC will. But I'm really glad that you're going to be there, and we will be having a lot of things to talk about college football-wise.
We've got Oklahoma at Ohio State for game day. That's going to be a good game. There's a couple good games.
There's not a lot.
Yeah.
There's not a lot, but that's going to
we'll
be a good one.
We'll be breaking it down.
We'll be breaking them all down, and we'll be answering a bunch of questions. If you guys do have any questions or there's anything that you want to ask us, remember that you can tag the show on Twitter or Instagram at Sideline Sass with three S's. Go ahead and funnel in all your questions there, and we will try to answer them as best we can.
You should ask Kaylee about her IMDb page.
You could not do that, but that would be fine, too.
You could do it.
We could also ask Emily about her college sports days. That would be great.
You mean when I was in college? Before I got kicked out.
Yeah, before you got kicked out. Anyway. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Stay sassy.